This morning's scripture reading is coming out of the second book of Corinthians, verses 14 through 16, if you'll follow along with me. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believed with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Brother Dennis.
No, the title did not come from a Neil Sedaka song. You know, about 5 miles north of Grand Forks Air Force Base, there was a commercial hog farm. And if you've ever been around a hog farm, you'll notice that the smell is quite different than a perfume factory. It is different than a sugar mill or a paper mill. It has an odor all of its own. And everyone who works on a hog farm has a job to do. Someone has to clean the pig pens to get rid of the waste. But let's just suppose for a moment that that was my job. To clean the pen. Now, before I go and get the shovels or the brooms or whatever it is I'm going to need, the first thing that I have to do is dress for the occasion. So I'm going to go to my closet. I'm going to pull out my most expensive tuxedo. And I'm going to go clean the pens. Now, you're probably thinking, is this guy an idiot or what? You can imagine what they said if it was rented. We all can agree that putting on a tuxedo to clean a pig pen is probably not the best choice to make. It was not intended to be used to clean messy things. It was intended to be worn at formal occasions. And we all get that because it is something so simple. Paul has been teaching the Christians at Corinth about the greatness of the Christian life. And a plea with the last part to be reconciled with God. And he continued that thought by helping us to know just what a life reconciled to God looks like and acts like. And this is when Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, probably many of us have heard that this verse relating to marriage, but it talks nothing about marriage. It has nothing to do with marriage. So just what is Paul talking about? What is his point? You know, we started with the illustration of the tuxedo to be worn to clean a pig pen. And as obvious as that was, Paul wants us to see some things that obviously do not belong together. Let's look again at our scripture reading in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verses 14 through 16. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does the unbeliever share with a believer? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, let's go ahead and we'll stop there for a moment. Paul's point is that there are things that are so obviously opposite to one another that they cannot possibly work together and come about an intended purpose. He uses five words that all have similar meanings, and he simply pushes the point with different illustrations. Righteousness, lawlessness, light, darkness, Christ, Belial, temple of God and idols. And then Paul points out that it is time to break up. It's time for Christians, especially when he's writing to these Christians and writing to them, even though centuries have passed, nothing has changed. So this message is just as prevalent to us today as it was to them. That a Christian cannot partner with sin and expect to stay clean. They're going to get dirty. They allow this partnership. We'll finish verse 16, for Paul simply states, "For we are the temple of the living God. And as God says, I will make them my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." It seems to be pretty easy to understand, doesn't it? But who are we? I say we are more than just the person that we introduce ourselves to a stranger as. We are more than how we identify ourselves as being. Those things do not define us. We can't allow ourselves to be trapped by saying, well, I'm a married white man who preaches in a church and enjoys certain hobbies. We are temples of God. Answer this question in your head. How important was the physical temple to the Jewish people? It's not difficult for us to know that. It was their religious epicenter. It was a place in which they felt closest to God. Even in the days of Jesus, even when the Ark of the Covenant was not physically in the Holy of Holies, but was lost somewhere at the time of the exile, the temple was still their greatest religious symbol. They would swear by it. Now ask yourself, what does Paul mean in this list of things that cannot be in union when he says, you are a temple of God? The answer we find is in the last clause of verse 16. God said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then he goes down just in the next verses, 17 and 18. Where he puts together verses from the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah in a more poetic form. He says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, and it says the Lord Almighty. What does it mean to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever? It means that we need to live in the holiness of God and not the sickness of sin. We need to separate ourselves from the things that take us away from a relationship of God. If I was to hand you all a sheet of paper and asked you to write down on that sheet of paper all of the things that you do on a daily basis that takes you away from God, how many things would be on that list? There are things that really are not wrong to do. What we need to do is grab hold of the things that draws us closer to God. Let's take a real hard look at what Paul is teaching. He reminds us that we are a temple. And then he quickly quotes God saying, "Separate yourselves from them." He's not talking about people. He's talking about actions. What is it that unbelievers do that is so offensive to the Christians? It's the actions. It's not the people. It's what they do. Think back. For some of you, I'm going to be asking an awful lot here. But think back to when you were in high school. When I was thinking this, it made my brain hurt. But think back for a moment. You remember all the drama that took place when a breakup occurred between a boyfriend and a girlfriend? Some of you younger people probably going through that now. Sometimes the breakup was initiated by the girl. Sometimes it was initiated by the boy. Maybe one or the other realized that it was an unhealthy relationship for them, or it just wasn't right. The point is, it's not that they didn't know they needed to break up. It was that breaking up was still an emotionally difficult thing to do. Breaking up is hard to do. Now think of all the things in this world that we need to break from. It pales in comparison to a childhood relationship or a childhood romance. How difficult is it for us to break a bad habit? A habit maybe that we realize is not spiritually healthy for us. And maybe we've already convinced ourselves that the habit is bad, that it is harmful for our spiritual growth, and maybe it is harmful in our relationships. Does it make it quitting any easier? For most of us, no. We struggle because there are parts of a bad habit that we like, parts that bring us momentary joy. Paul says to the brethren at Corinth, and by virtue of them to us also, to be separate. Come out from them. Separate ourselves from there. As the temple of God, we have to be careful with what we partner with. Paul already wrote to this church once before. Actually, Paul wrote three letters. One is lost. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, he said that bad company corrupts good morals. Just why Paul is so much trying to get them to separate themselves. Let's conclude with a different picture. Paul draws on the imagery of a yoke. A yoke is what brings two animals together for a certain task. And at a time when farmers used animals to plow and other work, a farmer, if he wanted to train an ox for the work of pulling something, he would take and put a yoke on the younger animal, the ox, if you will, and he will yoke him with an older, more experienced ox. Now, you can imagine the first time this happened that there's going to be some contention in there somewhere. That young ox is not going to want to plow or haul something. That young ox probably doesn't even like to work. Until you hooked me up to this, I had it easy. I was just out there eating some grass. But this older oxen knows exactly what a farmer wants. And so through the difficulty of getting that young ox, before long, he learns from the experiences of that other ox. And the task becomes easier. And isn't that an awful lot like a lot of us experienced in very early in our Christian walk? That we had a mind of our own to a certain degree. We relished in the joy of our baptism and our conversion. But you know, we were still unequally yoked. Breaking up with the world is hard to do. But we needed the gentle push and the guidance. Of a mature Christian to make things a little easier for us and to encourage us to continue each and every day to work the way we need to work. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 11 that his yoke is easy. It burdens our lives. Jesus wants to teach us, to guide us, and to help us to learn how to truly live. Paul is trying to get the brethren in Corinth to do the same thing. How to truly live. Jesus wants to make our load easier. And I have to say that while we think things are hard for us to be able to do this, Jesus is carrying most of the load. But because even though he's carrying most of the load, we can't just go along for the ride. We must do our parts too. If you have not obeyed the gospel this day, will you not come to him today? Are you willing to learn from him? Rest assured, it will be the best yoke you will ever have to bear. The invitation is open to you to obey the gospel. But the invitation is also open to those who need our prayers or maybe need to repent of something that is wrong in your life. But we want to give you that opportunity this morning as together we stand and sing. Will you come?